Turning your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let me get situated here. I forgot to do this earlier. I appreciate the song this morning. Appreciate them singing, but the song we sang before that was Have Faith in God, and then I think Brother Raymond and I have been on the same train of thought this past week, because he was talking a lot about faith during the Sunday school time, and that's what our message has to deal with this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read verses 12 through verse number 18, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for letting us be here today, and the many, many blessings that you've given to us. And Father, as we come today, I just really pray for your help. I pray and ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, just to hear the Word of God. I pray that there would be liberty to preach thy Word. But God, that we'd have a receiving heart and spirit, that our ears and heart of understanding would be open, and Lord, that our faith might grow. Lord, I ask that you'd be with all the many objects that's been mentioned already today. Lord, there's many, many things that we have upon our hearts. And God, I just pray about them. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are traveling, Lord, that you'd keep them safe and watch over them and help us, Lord, as only you can. God, we pray and ask for that unction which only comes from thee. Help us, Lord, to get all the things of the past week and the week to come off of our minds for a little while, that we might hear and heed the Word of God. Lord, would you help us today? And we'll thank you for all that you do. We come asking these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's look back in our scripture this morning. And let me get my pockets emptied out here. I don't know, it bugs me to have my pockets full of stuff. But we're going to read verses 15 and 16 again, and we'll get into the message this morning. But the Bible said in verse number 15, it said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. And notice there in the middle of verse number 15 what he says to the Corinthians. He said, but having hope, when your faith is increased. Having hope when your faith is increased. And I want to try to preach on the subject this morning, an increase of faith. An increase of faith. That's what he was praying and telling the church at Corinth, when your faith is increased. Now, I got to study in this passage of Scripture, and I believe verses 12 through 18, they all go together. In six verses here, you have the word measure or measuring six times. So we need to keep that in mind when we're looking at this. There's something to that. This word measure or measuring is mentioned six times. Different times in these verses. We also, along those lines, in verse number 13, we have the word rule over there. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule. That's another way to measure things, is by ruler. And so we wanted to point that out. And then in verse number 16, a line is mentioned to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. A line is a way that we measure as well. The context concerning this measure that he's talking about, verses 13 and 14, he has the word reach and the word stretch is used there. And then in verse number 15, the word reach and increase and enlarge is mentioned in these verses. So he's talking about enlarging, getting bigger is what that's talking about. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Turn over there real quick. That's just back maybe 20 pages in your Bible, somewhere around in there. You got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But there's a verse in Romans chapter 12 that connects with what we've read here in 2nd Corinthians chapter number 10. And in Romans chapter number 12, talking about a measure, talking about faith, talking about being enlarged, talking about an increase of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, he said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The measure of faith. So faith, evidently in the Word of God, faith is something that can be measured. Faith is something that can increase. It can go up or it can decrease. It can go down. Faith is something that can be measured. And so we see it many times referred to in the Word of God that way. I got to thinking about all the things in our lives that we measure. I mean, everything just about that I could think of is measured in some way or another. You go to the grocery store, you buy things that have already been measured out. You buy a gallon of milk, you buy a block of cheese, you buy a container of butter or whatever it is. It's in gallons, it's in ounces. Everything that we purchase is measured out. Things is measured in pounds, in feet, in inches, in miles. It's so many miles from here to there. And you buy a car, you buy a truck, and you know you're going to find out how much horsepower that it has. Everything is measured in one way or another. The tires you put on a vehicle has to be a certain size, has to be the right measurement. You computer literate people, things are measured in gigabytes, whatever that is. I don't know what it is or how they ever figured that out. But you know, everything is measured. You go to make a phone call on your cell phone and you don't have good reception and it's got little bars on there. And you say, well, I've only got one bar.
And so you don't have very good service. If you've got four bars, you've got good service. That's a measurement. Volume is measured. Brightness is measured. And sound is measured. And on and on and on we could go talking about the way things are measured. I brought something with me today to illustrate what I was talking about. And I brought some measuring spoons with me, and I brought it to illustrate at the measure of our faith. Now, I use these a little bit. I've never seen Kim use them, but not that she just don't use them, but I'll use them a little bit. But they're interesting to me. I got four little measuring spoons, and one of them says a smidgen on it, and whatever that is, I don't know in ounces or. But it's just a smidgen. I guess this is an old-timey measuring spoons. And the next one says a pinch. Got a pinch in these spoons. And the next one says a dash. And the next one says a tad. And so I thought that was interesting. And I brought these. I could have brought any number of things to illustrate how you measure something. But, you know, faith is something that just a little bit goes a long ways. Well, I could have brought a 5-gallon bucket, or I could have brought a 25-foot ruler to illustrate measuring something, but faith is something that when you have just a little bit, it goes a long ways. The disciples, they came to the Lord Jesus one time, and they had this little boy, And the boy had a problem. The boy had a devil. He was possessed with a devil, an unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit was trying to destroy that boy. And the father explained all that to the disciples. But the disciples, they could not cast out that unclean spirit. So they brought him to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 17:20, the Bible said over there, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, that's why you couldn't cast out this devil, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's a very small measure, isn't it? Said, if you had faith, if you had just a little smidgen of faith, you could have cast him out. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The Lord Jesus said, if you had just a little bit of faith, you could say to a mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And you know, this morning you would think if anybody would have had faith, the disciples would have. Brother Raymond brought out in the Sunday school lesson when they were out on the sea and the storm came up and they were worried to death, and they went to Jesus and said, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and he calmed the sea, and he said to them there, how is it that ye have not any faith? If anybody should have had faith, the disciples should have. But sometimes they didn't have any faith, and sometimes they didn't have enough faith. But in another place, over in Luke chapter number 17, they heard a message on forgiveness by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard that message about forgiving your brother, they said this, Luke 17 verse 5, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, sometimes they didn't have enough faith. Sometimes they didn't have any faith. Sometimes they said, Lord, increase our faith. And you know what? I thought about that. If they needed an increase of faith, surely from time to time we could use an increase of faith. An increase of faith. Our faith growing. We're to grow in the faith, in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you some things out of this passage of Scripture. First of all, I'm going to deal negatively what faith is not. Number one, boasting is not an increase of faith. Look in verse number 12. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Look in verse number 18. He said, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's who's approved. He's talking about, evidently the Apostle Paul had encountered those in the church, in ministry, who evidently thought a great deal of themselves and what they were doing. And Paul said, that's not wise. We're not of that number, boasting themselves among themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. He said, they are not wise. It's not the person in verse number 8 that commends himself that is approved. Oh, look at me, look what I'm doing. But he said in verse number 18, but whom the Lord commendeth, that's the one we need to please. That's the one that we want to have the approval and the commendation of is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, that element is still prevalent among God's people today. That's how they measure. That's what they do. They boast themselves among themselves. Made me think of a little story, Aesop's fable, that I read Chloe every once in a while, and it's called The Gnat and the Ox. You ever remember reading about the gnat and the ox? And there's a little gnat comes and lights upon the horn of an ox. And you know, an ox is one of the biggest domesticated, or probably is, creatures that there is. Big old animals. And that gnat comes and he's sitting there on the horn of that great big oxen. And that gnat says after a little while, he says, well, I'm sorry to have been such a bother to you. I'm going to fly off now. And the ox looks up at the gnat and says, suit yourself. I didn't even know you was there. I didn't even know you was there. And it hurt the gnat's feelings that the ox didn't even know that he was around. And then it has a little moral to the story, and it says something like this: those many times of the least stature think the most of themselves. And that's how that gnat was. He thought he was a great big burden to that ox, but the ox didn't even know that he was there. We're living in days where many people, they are very eager to tell you how many they have. In fact, that's the first question a lot of people ask. How many goes to your church? Well, we've got this many goes to our church. We've got this many services going on. Our church is this big. Our preacher is very famous, and you've probably heard of him. And boy, we have big offerings. And let me tell you about some of the who's who of our membership. We've got Dr. So-and-so, and we've got a senator, and we've got a judge, and we've got this one, and we've got that one comes to our church, and very eager to boast about their line of things, very eager to compare themselves among themselves. And sometimes it's almost as if there's a competition going on between churches, but those things ought not to be. Boasting is not an increase of faith. Truth is, you can have all of the outward adornments. You can have Dr. So-and-so as the pastor of the church. You can have a beautiful building. You can have great offerings. You can have a lot of things going on in the church and still not have enough faith to even be saved. Do you know that? Say, preacher, how could you have all those things? How could you have all that going on and not have enough faith to even be saved? Read over there about the church at Laodicea. That's how they were. They told the Lord. They said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. But you see in chapter 3, verse 20, that the Lord is knocking on the door on the outside of the church, desiring to get in. And he said, you know not that you're blind and naked and you have need to buy of me gold refined in the fire. And I don't want to misquote that over there, but the church at Laodicea was a church that had all those things, If they did not have the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were so caught up in themselves and what they were doing, they didn't even realize the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't in the church. They needed to be saved. I heard a preacher preach a while back, and he had been to the ruins over there in the country of Turkey where Laodicea is, and they were the archaeologists were in the process of doing a dig. That's what they call it when they find somewhere, and they take brushes and spoons and they dig out all of these ancient artifacts that they are. And they had found a church at Laodicea, and the pastor was explaining how beautiful that church was and how rich that it was. He actually got to go into a church in Laodicea. He said it was that things were marble in there, which indicated the great riches that they had. And he said they had a beautiful baptistry that was so large. I mean, you could fit a number of people in that baptistry. And he said the number one thing that stood out to me was these great large doors that they had to the church, much larger. If you've ever been to somewhere like that that has these doors that a giant could walk through. And he said he remembered in the scripture about the Lord Jesus knocking at those great doors. The Lord Jesus on the outside of the church. You can have all these things and not even have enough faith to be saved. Boasting is not an increase of faith. Number two this morning, look in verse number 13. Boundaries are not faith. Now let me show you what I mean by that. Boasting is not faith. Oh, we got this, we got that. We do this, we do that. That's not faith. That's not an increase of faith. Boundaries are not an increase of faith. Verse 13, he said, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Now I want to explain what he's talking about there in verse number 13. We find that the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that the Lord had sent him to Corinth, and he went. That's what he's talking about in verse number 13. Let's read it again. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. This is what God told me to do. God has distributed this to us, a measure to reach even unto you. You see that there in verse number 13? This is what God gave to us, a measure to reach even to you. God told the Apostle Paul to go to the Corinthians, and that is what he did. It said in verse number 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you. This is where God told me to go, and I came this far. I came to you. This is where the Lord has sent me. This is where I'm supposed to be at this time. But I notice here that the Apostle Paul did not boast about doing just what God told him to do. If we just do the bare minimum of what the Lord has required of us to do, we have absolutely nothing to boast in. Paul didn't say, like some have the attitude, I came, I saw, I conquered. Boy, I done this. I done what the Lord told me to do. Can we brag about just doing what God tells us to do? We can't brag about that. When I went to Forest Grove years ago, young pastor, first church, one of the members came to me, I hadn't been there very long, and offered to show me the bounds of the church. The bounds of the church. I'd never heard about that before. I was interested to know what these bounds of the church were. So we got together, we made an appointment, and we began to drive throughout the community there, and we drove down the road and went to the top of George's Gap and turned around, went down the other side, went up Lost Ridge, and he was showing me what they called the boundaries of the church or the bounds of the church. And I remember way back then thinking in my mind to myself, I thought, I don't know where they got this from, but it wasn't from the Bible. I don't know where this idea, and I believe it, maybe some of you older ones might remember talking about the bounds or the boundaries of the church and where that come from, but I do not find that in the Bible. Now, I'm not being critical. That was never brought up again. It was a younger person, and he's the only one that ever mentioned it to me. And but I'm not being critical in telling you this, but I want to say this morning that many churches, they have that mentality in their mind. Well, this is our little area, and we've got it pretty much covered, and that's what we're supposed to do. The boundaries of the church are not physical. We cannot go out here and say, well, we'll go a mile here and we'll go a mile and a half in this direction and we'll go the top of the road in this other direction. The boundaries of the church are not physical. The only boundaries that the church has upon it is a spiritual boundary, and it has to do with the limit of our faith. How much faith you got, that's where your boundaries are. How much faith do you have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's where your boundaries are. If you think, well, we can go about this far and this is what we can do in and of ourselves, that is where our boundaries are. But did the Lord Jesus Christ give boundaries like that to the early church? I thought about this. I thought about Psalms 19 and verse number 4. It's talking about the heavens declare the glory of God and the power of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it said in Psalms 19:4, their line is gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. That ought to be our desire for the boundaries of the church. I heard a preacher many years ago talking about their church. He said the ministry of this church, the sun never goes down upon the outreach of this church. That ought to be our desire. Say, preacher, how could we have a ministry like that? Through missionaries. That's exactly how you have a ministry like that. Through radio that's on through the day and on through the night. There's a lot of ways to have a ministry that reaches all the way around the world, and the sun never sets on the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no bounds except the boundaries of our faith. And if we are staying in a designated boundary, if we've got a little box that we have put ourselves in and say, this is as far as we're going and we're not going any farther, then we're dying. We'll die if that's the mentality that we have. This is all that we need to be concerned about. This is all that we need to worry about in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our Christian lives. If we are stagnant, we're dying. If we're just staying the same. If we've just got it put in park, if we're not going forward, if we're not being enlarged, if we are not stretching beyond the measure of faith, if our faith is not growing, then we are not what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can think in our minds, well, look around, we're doing pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of people in church this morning. Thank God for that. I'd rather preach to a person than an empty pew. I thank the Lord for that. Boy, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of souls. I've said this many times before. If you took in Watauga County, if 5% of the population got saved in this county and decided next Sunday morning they's going to be in church, they's just going to go to the closest Bible preaching church to where they are, the churches couldn't hold that many people. We might look around and say, well, we're doing pretty good. But seeing one or two people saved a year, we're not making much of a dent. We're not even affecting our boundary, our local, very much. One here, one there. Boundaries are not faith. Number three this morning, look in verse number 14. Busyness is not faith. Busyness is not faith. Verse 14, he said, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." He said there, "We stretch not ourselves beyond our measure." I'm sure you've heard the phrase of somebody being stretched too thin. Being stretched too thin. Having too many irons in the fire. A lot of people have problems along these lines in the day and time in which we live. You can be stretched to the point of being ineffective in anything. You can have so much going on that you can't be the husband you ought to be. You can't be the wife you ought to be. You can't have the relationship with your children that you ought to be. You can't be the neighbor that you ought to be. You can't get your work done at work like you ought to. You can't keep up with nothing in your life like you ought to. Your walk with God suffers because you're so stretched. You're stretched so thin. You think there's anybody around like that? Kim and I went to town a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I always watch what people are doing and how they're acting and driving around, things like that. I told Kim at the end of the day, we was headed back home, I said, "Have you noticed how tight people are wound?" I mean, you'd ride through town, you're going to see people going along and they're waving their hands at the car beside of them, and people just talking to each other, and you sort of watch from a distance and there's this tension among people. People are wound so tight. Got to be somewhere, got to go, got all these things, got to do this, got to do that. We are so busy, busy, busy all the time, you know. When I was growing up, we had an old-timey clock in our house, used to set in the bookcase. And every once in a while, me and my brother, we'd want to wind that clock up, had an old key. And you had to use that key to wind that clock. And Mom and Dad always say, "Don't wind it too tight, you'll break it. If you wind that clock too tight, it won't work like it's supposed to work." Well, eventually, I guess one of us did. And there's a lot of people got stories like that. "Well, if I wind it just a little bit tighter, I'll get some more time out of it." No, you won't. You just break what you got. And that's how a lot of people, our lives are. We've wound them so tight. Our schedules are so cram-packed full from Monday all through through Sunday night. People at the... That's not going to help your walk with God. Being busy is not evidence that you are a great person of faith. I preached on this several years ago, and I used the word busy, B-U-S-Y, and that stands for this. You ought to write it down. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. How are you? Busy. Are you really? What are you busy doing? What's it doing for you in your spiritual life? Being under Satan's yoke. Churches fall into this mentality of being so busy and going, 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 and doing, 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 and we'd better be going and doing because time's running out. Jesus said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." You say, "Preacher, what's the difference between, well, we need to be doing this and we need to be doing that?" If it is a burden on you and sucking all the life out of you and you're not getting a blessing out of it, I promise you nobody else is either. I preach on the radio. You know what? It is full-time job. You can't go away for 2 days. You don't have to think about, "I'm supposed to be on the radio. I gotta think 2 and 3 weeks ahead at a time. on Monday, when a lot of preachers is taking off and having some downtime, on Monday, I'm getting ready for Tuesday. I've got radio, I mean every week. You always got to be thinking of that, preparing, and all of these things. But you know what? I love it. It is not a burden to me. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming, but I love it. It's not a burden to me. But if I woke up in the morning and said, oh, I got to do that radio today. Oh, I'd like to do something else. This is, oh, why do I do this? This is, but then I go on, try to, well, I need to do that. That's what I need to do. You know what? God wouldn't be in 100 miles of that. That's how you can tell if God's in it or not. If you love it, God's in it. If it's sucking the life out of you, you might ought to reevaluate your busyness and what you're devoting your time to. Churches get wrapped up in being busy. But I'm telling you, busy without faith is just going to result in being burnt out. That's all it's going to do to you. I remember one time in our church in England, we had a good church. The Lord had a good church, I'll put it like that. We was always doing something. They had all kinds of ministries. They had something going on all the time. And I remember one Sunday morning we went to church and boy, the preacher got to preaching and he said, you know what? We ain't doing nothing this week. I don't want you coming back tomorrow night. I don't want nobody here Tuesday night. We'll come for prayer meeting Wednesday night, Thursday night, stay at home. He said, some of you are spending every day down at the church. He said, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your children. We can get so busy, we just burn out in the work of God. Churches fall into it. Pastors fall into it. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I've read some things about pastors, and you see more of that this time of the year than any other time of the year. And I read an article about the top seven reasons why pastors quit. And not because of immorality or not because of scandal, but just good pastors, preachers, and they quit. And more often than not, preachers quit. You know, one of the number one reasons why they quit, they feel like that they could not meet the demands of the congregation, that no matter how much they were doing, it was not enough. I debate whether or not to tell this, but I'd been going, I'm not going to say when, but I'd been going, doing, had several weeks of revival in a row. You know, there's always something to do. And I had some time. I stopped to make a visit with somebody I needed to visit. It had been a while. I walked in, and you know what they said to me first thing? Howdy, stranger. Just take a knife and just drive it deep down in my heart. I'm doing the best I can. I'm only one person. I can only get around to so many people. And buddy, what a way to greet somebody. Well, I'm glad to see you too. Thanks for stopping by. How you doing, stranger? Well, I could have moped around. You got to be like a duck sometimes. Just let things roll off your back. But we can get so busy that it burns us out. And the Apostle Paul knew that the secret to ministry was not just being busy all the time. That is not an increase of faith. But you know what? He knew what it was. He knew what the secret was. And that's what I want to show you, number 4, verse 15 and 16. What does bring an increase of faith? Number 4. Believing brings an increase of faith. Verse 15, he said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. He's talking to the church. Having hope that when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule, abundantly. And then notice that's not a period, that's a comma. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. He knew that until faith is increased, he was at a standstill. He didn't just go on and do just because he knew he needed to be doing. But he told that church at Corinth, when your faith is increased, my ministry will be increased. Boy, we'd be helped a great deal if we could learn the lesson right there. The Apostle Paul had a great desire in his ministry. He wanted to go and do more, didn't he? Look at verse 15. But having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you accordingly. When your faith grows, my ministry will be enlarged. Look in verse number 16 what he said. When your faith is increased, I'll be able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. How important the faith of the local church is to the ministry of preaching the gospel beyond. But the Apostle Paul knew that until the church's faith was increased, he couldn't do anything. He was handcuffed. He was at a standstill. He was shut down as far as going any further. Until that church's faith was increased. Boy, what a great lesson there is there. The importance of an increase of faith. We need to do more. How? Need to have an increase of faith. It's been several months since we've taken on any new missionaries. Now we've increased some support. And I thank God for that. But we've had missionary after missionary come through. We've not taken any new missionaries on for support in a long time. Do you know what? If we're not careful, we will start operating by financial statement instead of by faith. We're not careful, we'll get into that. If we're not careful, instead of looking to the Word of God, we'll look at a piece of paper and we'll say, well, we know we need to be doing, we know we'd like to take on some missionaries, but, you know, I wonder if 35 or 40 years ago, if that's the way that we'd have operated if we'd have the missionaries that we have today. If we took on the first one by faith, we might as well take on the 60th one by faith. We do not operate by financial statement. We operate by faith. We live by faith. We do things by faith. Look, that's why it's called Faith Promise Missions. That's what we do. Look in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I know how it is. Here's how, from a physical standpoint, I look at what goes out every month to missionaries and I say to myself, man, that's a lot of money. How are we ever going to keep this up? We're not. It's already beyond what we can do. If you can't see the hand of God in what we're doing, you don't know what's being done. There's a lot of money goes out every month. You know what I say about it? Praise God! If we don't send it out, the IRS will get it. If we don't send it out, the government will steal it. If we don't send it out, it'll just go to waste and it'll be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. The church will be raptured. The money will be left for the devil to take and use. Well, we need to send that money out. We need to get rid of that. We need to have some missionaries. That's what we do. You say, preacher, what do you do at Mount Lebanon? We try to get the gospel out. We have to have an increase of faith. I have to have an increase of faith. You have to have an increase of faith. Now is not the time to guard a nest egg. Well, the government's broke. Been broke for a long time. Just like a greedy dog, it'll look around and say, boy, look at all these churches and all the money they've got. Don't you think right now they's not hands wringing together, mouth salivating? How could we get our hands on all that money that all these churches have got sitting on tax-free? Oh, we could wake up one day and it would either be worthless. That's one way to steal your money. Just devalue it to the point that it's not worth anything. Don't think that couldn't happen. Or just take it like they did in Greece, some of these other countries. We could wake up and it'd be gone. Be gone. I'm just saying, we are to operate by faith. We're to live by faith. God blesses those that sow bountifully. Read chapter 8, chapter 9. When you get home, what a blessing that is. We've been talking among ourselves, some of the men, some of the deacons, we've been talking about maybe getting a van, in the church van, to provide transportation, the Collegians for Christ. Brother Kyle, he's told them college students, anybody that wants a ride to church, let me know. He's been bringing college students in his own personal vehicle. Now, I believe that all he could haul is five, three of them and two more. He's maxed out. They're not here this morning. I'm going to preach on this. We've been talking about getting a van. We've been praying about it. There seems to be a general consensus. We think that would be a good thing to do. But now, that is a step of faith to step out. And for us, we're a little old country church. What are we going to do? Something like, I'm not interested in having a van to set in the parking lot and drip oil. But praise God, if somebody would get on it and come to church, glory to God, I'm all for that. Be a good thing. How do we go about deciding if that's what we're going to do or not? Well, do we wait till somebody stands beside the road and says, hey, will you take me to church? I've been coming to church a long time. I've never seen nobody stand by the road and say, hey, will you take me to church? You know how you operate? You operate by faith. And if God leads us by faith to get a van, do you know what God would do? God would put people on the van. That's how this thing of faith operates. You operate in the realm of faith, and then God blesses the effort of your faith. Believing brings an increase of faith. This is a ministry of faith. And when faith is increased, then ministry is enlarged. When our faith grows, the ministry that God has given us grows as well. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm getting near the end here. I'm on the last point. That's, if you've got a Scofield Bible, it's page 460. But over here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, there's a little prayer over there. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez. And old Jabez, we don't know anything about him much in the Word of God, and he's just inserted here in the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles is just a list of names. Genealogy is what it is, name after name after who was born to who and all of these things. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 10, there's a little prayer. It said, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Boy, what a great prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing selfish about that. He said, God, I pray you'd enlarge my coast. Bless me indeed. Keep me from evil. What a blessing. But then it said in the last part, it said, and God granted him that which he requested. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I gave him a book. One of the books that I had written. And I don't know the person very well, and I had invited them to church, and they'd shown an interest, and they knew that I was on the radio, and I said, yes, I'm on the radio, and they said, boy, and you wrote a book, and I said, yes, and all like that, and they said, boy, you do a lot. And I said, before I thought about it, I said, well, I don't know. I said, I need to do a lot more. You ever feel like that? I need to do a lot more. I might be doing in somebody's eyes a lot, but in God's eyes and in my heart, I'd really like to do a lot more. But you know, the only way that I can possibly do any more, and even we as a church, we get to the point where we look around and say, wow, could we do any more? Only if our faith is increased. If our faith is increased, God can make a way. We ought to be like the disciples were when they heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. All they could do is say, Lord, increase our faith. You think God can increase our faith? You think that God could take my little smidgen? Do you have a smidgen of faith? I'm not talking about great bucketfuls and barrelfuls, but do you even have a smidgen of faith today? You've got a smidgen. Because Romans 12:3 said, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You've got a smidgen of faith. I promise you that. But do you think we could come today and say, God, could you turn my smidgen into a pinch? God, could you give us just a little bit more? I don't see how we can do much more. But I'm telling you, there's much more that needs to be done. But I'll tell you, it's going to have to be an increase of faith. God, could you take my little bit and give me a little bit more? And you might have a little bit more than the neighbor sitting beside of you. You might say, God, could you take my pinch? Could you give me a dash? Could you give me this little bit bigger? And somebody else might say, God, give me just a tad more. You might say, well, that's not much, but if you look at these spoons, that's at least a fourfold increase. Praise God. If you could have a fourfold increase of your faith, you talk about doing something for God. But it takes faith. We are to operate and live by faith. And Paul knew the key to that, the success of his ministry, of souls getting saved and preaching the gospel in the regions beyond you, was the increase of the faith of the people in the church at Corinth. Oh, that God would increase our faith today. My faith, your faith. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.